Welcome to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spiess, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us this week on Building the Bakken Radio, the most trusted energy brand in the Bakken today. Building the Bakken Radio is not a political program, rather an informational brand. No polarizing talk, just conversation about the facts of the energy industry. Here at the Crude Life Media Network, we generate positive energy. Building the Bakken is about the people, the community, and the industry, those who are involved with the evolution of the Bakken oil field and the oil and gas industry, those that are working it every single day of the week. On today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio, it's a year in review, and this week, it's our weekly Bakken get-together we have on social media every single Wednesday with Bakken.com. If you're not aware of the weekly Bakken get-together, then you're going to want to check this out. Every single Wednesday, we get together with somebody from the Bakken and talk a little bit about the latest and greatest, what's happening on our social media platform. We have over 250,000 social media followers that get the program, and we invite you folks to be a part of it too. That's the weekly Bakken get-together on Facebook.com. It's the Facebook Live program. We're doing Facebook Live programming here, folks. And the reason for that is we got to make sure we do the radio programming. Of course, we're also in a lot of magazines and newspapers as well. And then we also need to get in the social side of things. So we're on YouTube, we're on Twitter, we're on social media like Facebook, and we're doing programming now online as well. And the reason for that, well, we need to bridge the retirees with the people coming into the workplace. There is some things happening, folks. There's a shift going on, and we want to make sure that Building the Bakken is a bridge of information for the people coming into the workplace and those exiting the workplace, so there is a respect for the industry that continues throughout generations. Because let's keep in mind, folks, this Bakken is a 5, 6, 7 generation Bakken play. So, all right. It's our year in review, the weekly Bakken get-together. Okay, so who do we have on the weekly Bakken get-together? Well, we've had Anthony Molzon with Aegis Flow, and he's going to talk a little bit about the UAS industry, how it's being used in the Bakken. Lynn Helms, director for the North Dakota Department of Mineral Resources. Doug Burgum, the governor of North Dakota. A lot is happening, by the way, in the job market, so a little bit of interesting talk happening on the weekly Bakken get-together about the job market. All that, and oh, don't forget our weekly Davis Refinery update. You know, that public meeting is coming January 17th. Of course, comments until, I think, the 26th of January. Dan Hetherington, he'll have all the details on that public meeting here in just a moment on our weekly Davis Refinery update. And by the way, folks, our year in review program, the weekly Bakken get-together. Okay, my name is Jason Spiess. This is Building the Bakken, and we're part of the Crude Life Media Network. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
How it's easy to see how I could become.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spiess, and I'm your host today. Up next, Dan Hetherington, principal with SEH.
It does last, you're exactly right, until January 26th, I believe it is. And it starts officially tomorrow, actually. And then on the 17th, we're going to have a public informational meeting and a public hearing in Dickinson at the university. And we'd love to see people, you know, that if they're They're supportive. We'd love to see you. We do understand that, you know, just the nature of this stuff, when people support it, they tend to stay home and say, you know, good luck. I hope they make this happen. And then, unfortunately, some of the people who are more opposed to the project, they show up. So we'd be thrilled to death to see people come and help us, support the project at the public hearing. But if you can't, a little letter would be great. So what happens after that time period is that the department will go through and they'll evaluate all the public comments. And then at that point, they'll make a determination whether or not some of the comments are valid or justified or relevant to the air emissions issues at all. And then they'll make some potential conditions or something on the permit or something like that. But we would hope that after all of that time and they review all of those comments and respond accordingly, we would be very excited to see the permit issued, you know, sooner than later. But we do understand that's going to take a little bit of time.
Public comments in Dickinson, North Dakota. And what day was that again? January
17th. And it's at 5:30 at night, and that's mountain time. And so it'll be 5:30 at night on January 17th. And it's actually at the Dorothy Stickney Auditorium May Hall at the Dickinson University, right there in Dickinson.
And that's a Wednesday. Okay, so Wednesday, January 17th. I remember that Stickney because when Avery Terry O'Claire, he recited the same information. So again, if you go to thecrudelife.com and click on the website, we'll have the information there, as well as keep an eye on our social media, bakken.com, and the Crude Life social media. We'll be keeping you guys posted there as well. Okay, Dan, let's wrap her up here. Anything, final thoughts, anything we left out, anything we want to reiterate, anything you want to, kind of talk about here as we wrap it up?
Well, I guess just to kind of the things that are going through my head, you know, that we're very excited about where we're at. This is a very highly, highly regulated project. This isn't something you just decide on a whim that you're going to go and build a refinery. And what we've seen is, you know, the county has been very supportive of us. We've got, you know, the zoning and the conditional use permits that are necessary. We've got the water folks have offered our permit. That's still, you know, in process. Our air permit is going very well. We're just thrilled with the amount of support and the way people are looking at this as a great opportunity for not only the locals in North Dakota, but for the country as a whole. So I'm just very grateful to everybody who's been helping out.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dan Henrington with SEH or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
You sit in your piano in your purple party dress. Everyone who's ever met you knows exactly what's next.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com. Click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab.
Watch it shine so bright underneath the stage lights. You've been up all night driving home and pointing your old midnight. Watch it shine so bright in the candlelight.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, as part of our year-in-review weekly Bakken get-together, Anthony Mulzon with Aegis Flow. Of course, our weekly Bakken get-together is a Facebook Live programming, and you can join us live on Facebook every single week as we sit down with Anthony Mulzon of Aegis Flow. Mr. Mulzon, Anthony is going to be talking with us today. He's the co-founder and the CEO of Aegis Flow.
Yep, Aegis Flow. Yep. Yeah, or Aegis Flow if you like to follow the Oxford Dictionary.
So we're going to go with Aegis Flow here, but that is his company, and it's a pilot platform. So what we're going to talk about today is the UAS industry, and not specifically so much in the Bakken as just the industry in itself, and will bleed in the Bakken, but it's a good idea to kind of have a little bit of a 5,000-foot view, if you will, to understand exactly how this is going to work, because it is going to be working side-by-side with the oil and gas industry. The governor's talked about, Lynn Helms has talked about, as well as Doug Goring, the ag commissioner. Now, keep in mind, Doug Goring and the governor are two-thirds of the Industrial Commission, which control the oil and gas rules and regulations. So a lot of that stuff does tie in. Also, North Dakota is one of seven states that is a designated test state from the federal government, which gives North Dakota a lot of leeway and a lot of play when it comes to developing the rules and regulations with the UAS industry, the UAV industry, otherwise known as the drone industry. I'm going to be using those three periodically because, oh, wait, there's even a new one now with an R, right?
Well, there's quite a bit. I mean, and you have Aquanaut vehicles, so you actually go under the ocean. You can actually do stress tests of the transatlantic internet cables, things like that. So
I want to know when I'm going to get my... Okay, you know how they got the drones that take the photos and everything?
Oh, yeah.
Where's my underwater submarine drone?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There are some folks that are building that. I was actually out in a collision conference in New Orleans a few months back in May, and there was a young company that they're creating a fully autonomous, basically an aqua vehicle.
Could you imagine that in the ocean? How gorgeous that would be?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it'd be cool if like a shark ate it.
Yeah, and actually they were actually trying to create a way to self-perpetuate to keep it going a lot by using the flows of the water to extend the life of the battery to get it to go further.
Oh, so, boy, that's really deep.
Yeah, and Microsoft is another group that was doing it, but for the air, to use artificial intelligence to detect basically the thermal spaces to let these planes, these glider planes catch those, learn how to fly in and stay in the air effectively, perpetually. So, yeah, it's happening everywhere. So,
well, once again, this is the Bakken.com's Facebook page here, and this is the weekly Bakken get-together, and we're going to be talking about the UAS, drone, UAV industry. And first of all, talk about your company a little bit. Let's just set the table of who you are and what your background is and how you're here talking about this today.
So the background, well, I grew up in a small town in Wisconsin, so we don't have to talk about that. I went to college in Duluth. I was originally going for computer science.
Go Bulldogs.
Yeah, right on, yeah. And if you're familiar with the campus up there, the whole thing is connected by underground tunnels, so I didn't actually go outside for like a year and a half at one point. It was pretty great. I was going for computer science. Ones and zeros were not for me, so I actually finished with an art degree. Paint by number was far more conducive to my world. Yeah,
one through nines.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And so on my journey, after college, I wanted to go out west to pursue professional golf, actually. So I was enrolled at the Academy in San Diego, and I stopped in something called Fargo, North Dakota, when my girlfriend, now my wife, said, you know, let's stop in Fargo, save some money. So that was about 10 years ago. Got a job at Red Lobster, because that's the next logical thing. And I got a job while serving a gentleman and his family says, you know, I build websites. He says, I have a job for you. I took the job, and that was about 7.5 years ago, and I learned a little bit about precision agriculture using satellite imagery, and once I moved away from that company, we created this platform for pilots, a marketplace for folks to sell their photos and videos and be contracted to fly. It's a mapping environment for drone pilots.
How long have you been doing this?
We launched our company on May 11th. And I remember that because
2017.
Yeah, this year.
Okay, so
very new.
Most of these UAS companies are, unless you're Boeing or Northrop Grumman or one of the big boys, you're less than 2 years old.
For the most part.
For the most part. Yeah, probably 95% of the companies.
Yeah, you've got some mavericks, some heroes like David Dvorak of Field of View, who launched many years before it was even legal to fly, and he created an entire platform out of it. So you got some folks that were forerunners that helped pave the way for folks like us, and so our give back is for the Northrop Grumman's, the General Atomics, whoever it is of the world. They are supplying hardware. They're providing it to people who can fly for virtually any industry, whether it be monitoring oil and gas or construction or for real estate, getting some vanity shots. We're there to have the pilots be able to contract that work and offer that content to the people who purchased it. That's basically it.
That is the end goal. It's to fly over a pipeline or to fly over a row of sunflowers or potatoes or whatever the heck, and to be able to pinpoint a mineral deficiency, a disease, a single thing. Now, where are we at? Are we there yet?
Yeah, well,
how close is science fiction now?
Well, you have quite a bit of precedence with this, but not quite at that granular scale. So take a step back. Let's talk about late 90s, early 2000s, when you have satellites, the large-scale images being taken over massive swaths of land. And you're not seeing high resolution. A pixel represents basically something that's 2 to 3, maybe 5 times the size of the room that we're in right now. You can't really identify much, but what were you trying to identify at the time? That something was wrong. Not exactly what, but that something was, so that you could equip your agriculturist, your agronomist, with the ability to go out there to the site. So instead of looking at 1,600 acres, let's look at these 5 spots of about 4 or 5 acres apiece. Now you're able to expedite their workflow, understand what's going on. They attribute one, represents the same in all of them, and they're able to actually create this prescription. Now, let's take a look at that. Swap out the components for oil and gas, and you have the same thing. So we recognize that, say, a lot of the wellheads, say, from the 70s, for instance, a lot of different, regulation was much different back then. People haven't capped some of them. You have brine leakages, things like that. Imagine for a second if you're able to take a medium to high resolution satellite image or an aerial image or a drone image, and you're able to detect, say, for instance, that there was an uptake in salinity, for instance. You have much more salt here now. Take another image in 2 weeks, and it looks like we have a trending analytic, a growth rate of, say, 15%. It looks like it's going to expand. So you can actually create reclamation opportunities. You can actually take these things, and these are at big scale. Now let's take a look at a specific pipe, for instance. Now, we don't know exactly where the pipes are. Thank you, North Dakota. We don't know. That's something that is, I guess, near and dear. We don't know exactly public knowledge where those pipes are, but someone does, which matters when it comes down to things like these sensors that you put into the ground, these biodegradable sensors. Post them, which are buried underneath the earth, that line up with the particular pipes, and you actually create what we'll call a mesh network that can detect the changes in electroconnectivity. Could change like how much how wet the soil is. And could that be a leak? Could that simply be water retention after rain? Could be a combination.
To listen to the full length interview with Anthony Molzon of Aegis Flow, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/thecrudelife. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Now sometimes you gotta look back and see where you went wrong. If you can't do that, you won't be around too long. That hand should have seen it coming, a hatchet and a butcher block. But she was too wrapped up strutting her stuff to see the water was getting hot. Oh, it's good.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Well, Some folks dine at the table, where others land in the pot. Where you end up depends less on luck than what you do or what you got. So keep your head on a swivel, look both ways when you cross the street. 'Cause this world is full of sharks and wolves, and all they ever do is eat. Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention to.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
I think it's a really exciting time for our young leaders today because leaders like Eric Hatch are changing the face of what it means to lead an organization or what it means to lead a brand. He's changing that. For many years, I think that the gold standard of leadership has been somebody who is very polished and has it all together or seemingly has it all together. And throughout the years, I think that we've now, especially with technology and social media, we are drawn to what's real.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, as part of our year-end review with our weekly Bakken get-together, of course, our weekly Bakken get-together is social media programming, so these are interviews that we do live on Facebook, and you can, of course, join us every single week on Wednesday for our weekly Bakken get-together on social media. All right, folks, Facebook Live, in fact, to be specific. In this interview, we sat down with Lynn Helms, Director for the North Dakota Department of Mineral Resources.
And so we're starting to see people put together proposals for AI to go, for example, and look at two drone flights 2 weeks apart and pick out the differences and identify what matters and what doesn't matter. And, you know, I've seen some UAS presentations where a drone was taught to do fast inspections of bridges, and it was taught to recognize corrosion. And so it did a quick sweep, looked in and said, these spots have some corrosion on them. Now the drone flight went back and focused in on those spots. And then a human being took a look to say, okay, what do we need to fix? Yeah. Now that's the kind of applications that AI is going to be able to do for us. But when you're looking at something that covers 16,000 square miles, like the Bakken, you've got to get beyond line of sight. And to do that, you've got to create some kind of a network that allows those drones to fly safely because they're going to be interacting with manned aircraft and with each other and with things on the ground and their mission to go up and look at things. And so there's some big technology policies that need to be set and some big breakthroughs coming.
This sounds to me like energy and, the UAS industry is going to kind of usher in the AI with energy.
Yes, I think again it's going to be a synergy that for either one to make its way into our energy industry, they're going to have to interact and they're going to have to create a synergy. You know, much like what we talk about with our public-private partnerships through things like the Oil and Gas Research Council or the Lignite Energy Council. It's those synergies that makes North Dakota such a great place for energy.
Okay, just a couple questions left here. Succession planning, I don't know if you hear much about this in your world or you can comment on it, but There's been a lot of talk over the last few years about 70% of the industry is getting ready to retire.
Yes.
And they're kind of going through a vetting process about some people who will have respect for the industry, we'll just call it that, a understanding of the responsibility that it involves. Steve Swantick from Gate City Bank, he came out a few weeks ago and he said, you know, he's retiring in 2020, but he announced that in 2015 when he initially took the position. But it was more about the succession planning was the reason he kind of came public. And I went, okay, so this is a good time for me now to start asking the question in oil and gas. Are you hearing anything on succession planning in oil and gas these days?
There's a lot of discussions about it. I don't know that I've heard or seen any really awesome processes or programs that have, you know, I feel like they've really got it nailed. But it's on all of our minds. It's on my mind every year when I get my whole staff together and I hand out service awards. And it's impossible not to notice that we've got this huge mass of employees with 3 to 5 years of service and a smaller but still very large group that have 25 to 35 years of service and virtually nothing in between because we went through those low energy, low oil production years. And so it's critical to think about succession planning and to think about retention, employee retention, so that the best of those young employees are retained and are mentored by the best of those old employees. Mm-hmm. And so it really, a lot of it goes back to how do you retain intellectual capital? How do you retain institutional knowledge and transfer it? And so it's a big, complex subject, and it's more than just planning for succession, but it's thinking about your institutional knowledge and intellectual capital and retention of the key people and mentoring from the key older folks to the key younger folks.
There's a little
as
bit
you
of...
plan as you plan for succession and retirements and new people.
And you're trying to pass on a culture too.
Yes.
And that's not easy.
It is not easy, but you know, North Dakota's had an awesome culture of energy development, and we absolutely don't want to lose that.
All right, 2017, I called it the year of the refrac. Brian Kalk, he called it the year of the energy reset from Washington.
Okay.
What was 2017 in your world?
Well, 2017 was, I think, when we hit the pause button to take it off, so to speak, when we started to go back to activity. It looked to me like in late 2015, as prices continued to crumble and the cash flow wasn't there for massive capital investment, that industry pretty much just hit the pause button. I know a lot of people thought it was the stop or the end button, but it wasn't. It was the pause button. And so beginning around the middle of this year, second quarter, early third quarter, we saw people reach for that and take the pause button off. So if you want to call it a reset or if you want to call it a return, but we're seeing people begin to look at going back into growth mode. I don't think we're going to see the growth rates that 11, 12, and 13 showed us. That wasn't a sustainable, healthy growth rate. It was driven by extreme prices and the need to hold leases by production. That's what you're seeing in the Permian right now. That's to some extent what you're seeing in the Anadarko right now. And that will play out. That will come to an end. And that will be to our benefit. Because during this time, operators in North Dakota have refocused their efforts and their areas of expertise. They have learned ways to drill cheaper and faster and frack better and more effectively, and they're working on enhanced oil recovery. We're going to come out of this thing with the ability to produce more oil at a lower price. And so I think the Bakken is going to retain its first or second place in terms of productivity per rig and productivity per employee. And so, yeah, we've taken the pause button off, and we're going to go back into growth mode. And I really believe, you know, I was in Williston not too long ago, visiting with the economic development people there. I was shocked to find out that the apartment buildings are 85% full and the hotel 60%. That means that people are coming, and I think that will continue. The decision by OPEC to extend those production restraints through the end of next year is going to help that momentum to continue to build. And so the giant train that is our North Dakota energy industry is picking up steam and building momentum.
Thank you, sir.
All right. There
you go. To listen to the full-length interview with Lynn Helms, director for the North Dakota Department of Mineral Resources, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
When you get to me, I'm going to unfold my arms. So you got a place to land that's soft and warm, yeah.
Hey, yeah. The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Choice. You are the queen of the midnight run. 11 years of dark to taste the sun. The AM radio and the dashboard lights. You have the road in the middle of the night. You have the road in the middle of the night.
Seems like no matter who I talk to in the world of business these days, people are telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what Jeff Schatz, superintendent of the Fargo Public Schools, has to say about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching.
You know, I have three basic fundamental philosophical underpinnings, if you will, myself. And the first one is that we take care of our families because that's what sustains us throughout our life. Second thing is that we do a good job at work because that's what helps us sustain our families. Third thing is we take care of ourselves, because if we don't do that, we can't take care of the first two things. And so his message really kind of resonates with that kind of philosophical underpinnings that I have as a leader. And I've told the entire staff that before at openers. And so I think it was a natural fit for him to come in and kind of tell a story that brings that to life, because what he talks about is family and how important that is. And then ultimately that is the end game for everybody.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit CoachingWithHatch.com. That's CoachingWithHatch.com.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
Radiant Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, as part of our year in review, is our weekly Bakken get-together. Of course, our weekly Bakken get-together is exclusive programming that we have for our social media pages. Over 250,000 social media followers with our network online. And of course, we like to bridge our millennials with our retirees and everybody in between. That's why we do radio. That's why we do magazines. That's why we do newspapers. That's why we do social media programming as well. the weekly Bakken get-together every single Wednesday on Facebook Live, social media, weekly Bakken get-together, just like the one we did here. This is Doug Burgum, the North Dakota governor.
I wanted to ask you about succession planning. This was kind of off script a little bit here, but I think you'll be able to handle it just fine. Steve Swantick with Gate City Bank, he came out recently and was talking about his retirement in 2020, which he announced in 2015,
yep,
when he took the board spot. He's mentioned succession planning. He's starting to talk more about that. Well, in the oil and gas industry, 70% is going to retire in the next like 5 to 10 years. So that is a big issue in the oil and gas. From a standpoint of, as they hand off the torch, they want to make sure that the upcoming generation has a respect for the industry, has a respect for the land and a respect for the community. You're a businessman. Let's talk about succession planning. I don't know if you ever went through that or anything along those lines, but do you have any advice in the general realm of succession planning?
Well, I think it's great you bring it up, and it's highly relevant because it's relative to the demographics of our state, and it comes right back to workforce development. It comes back to the Main Street Initiative, two things we've already talked about. When we're on Main Street, and even if we go into a town where we were in Garrison, North Dakota, there were no for rent and no for sale signs. Every store on Main Street was lit up. They got the Dickens Festival going on. The town's got all this vibrancy. They've got an active Main Street. The people that own all those businesses are all they're all within 5 or 10 years of retirement for the most part. So who is going to take over those businesses? What's that opportunity? What's the succession planning there? Every day in America, we have more doctors and nurses retire than we have doctors and nurses entering the workforce. I mean, this is part of the baby boom demographic issue that our country is facing, and it's part of the reason why we've got a nursing shortage in North Dakota, is because we're not bringing enough in out of school as the ones that are retiring. So that's so we have these demographic issues. We got these small town leadership issues. When it comes into business, and it's great you mentioned Steve Swantek. He and I knew each other when we were in college at NDSU. So I've known Steve a long time, and he's doing it the right way. He's being very thoughtful about long lead times. Mm-hmm. That gives he and the other board a chance to think about identifying leaders, building leaders, and I'm sure their goal would be to see if they can have enough internal candidates that they could replace Steve with someone internally that understands the culture and understands the operating systems of that organization. That's a great way to do it. A lot of organizations, find themselves, CEO retires, they don't have a replacement, and they got to do an outside search. That probably means they haven't been doing talent management. They haven't been doing succession planning. And it turns out that when I was in the private sector, after I left Microsoft, one of the companies that I became chairman was a company that actually created software systems for human resource management, which included talent management app succession planning applications. And so it's a growing field. There's tools that can help companies address and manage that. But it's critical to the success of any organization. And we see that in state government when we take a look at whether it's in the IT department, or we take a look at any department we have a lot of people in state government with 30 to 35 plus years, some 40 years of experience in state government. Really going to be really difficult to replace those. The millennials that are at the other end of the scale don't intend to work at one place for 40 years,
right?
No more than they intend to eat supper at 5:30. And so, we're going to have a changing workforce in terms of state government, and the model that we've had has really been around permanence. We've got the whole compensation model in most state governments and the federal government is around someone comes and then they stay forever because of the strong pension and retirement benefits. Well, if those benefits, which can be very expensive, don't match up to the needs of the next generation workforce, then we've got a whole people model mismatch between what we're offering and what it's going to take to fill those positions, and there's a lot of institutional knowledge that's going to be leaving the state in the next few years as people retire, and that's a risk to the quality of the services that we provide.
To listen to the full-length interview with Doug Burgum, the governor of North Dakota, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Air in my mouth,
where the nighttime lights earth and light on the horizon. Under the soft red glow of the wintertime city clouds, and all the memories come falling down on me every time I roll back to town. Every time I roll back around.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. And that concludes this week's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. Building the Bakken will be back next week at this time on this radio station. For a full list of our media affiliates, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. Building the Bakken would also like to thank its sponsors, MBI Energy Services, cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. For more information on MBI Energy Services or to check out their latest job offerings, visit mbienergyservices.com. That's mbienergyservices.com. Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty's in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. The Eric Hatch team may not sell real estate in your community, but they can be a resource and a connection for you. Give them a call today at 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. The Lodge at Deadwood. The next time you're planning a conference, wedding, or weekend getaway, consider the Lodge at Deadwood. For more information, visit deadwoodlodge.com. That's deadwoodlodge.com. That's the Lodge at Deadwood, located in the beautiful Black Hills. And from the staff at Building the Bakken, my name is Jason Spies. We're asking you to be safe, be happy, and make it a great day. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Every time I roll back around.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
When you get Eric Hatch involved in something, you get 100% of him. You get him, you get his team, you get his family, now you get his kids. This is a guy that puts his heart into his work. What I really appreciate about Eric is his vulnerability. And there's times he hits home runs, and there's times where maybe it doesn't go the way everybody hoped. But I've always respected how much he loves his work. I got to watch him give a talk at TEDx Brookings, where he gave a talk, and I saw him come into his own, where he shared uncomfortable things from his past in a way that created a teaching environment. It's been said that if you want to create competition, tell everyone your success. And if you want to create compassion, share your weaknesses. And Eric's somebody that could easily lead with all he's accomplished. And it's a long list.
To find out more information about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch come to your company or event, visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.